Betting 360, your number one source for horse racing and sports betting insights. Taking the reins, here's Mark Haywood with another expert interview to give you the winning edge.
G'day all, welcome to this week's edition of the Betting 360 podcast. I'm Mark Haywood and my guest this week's none other than the gun himself, Brenton Abdullah. Brenton, of course, made the shift to Sydney as a young jockey, and he's really taken all before him there over the past few years, and this year actually finds himself right at this moment sitting on top of the New South Wales Metro Premiership table. So we just wanted to get Brenton on for a bit of a chat, just about his own background and also the way in which he approaches a race and does perform himself. So my guest today is New South Wales jockey and actually the current leader of the New South Wales Metro Jockey Premiership, Brenton Abdullah. Thanks for joining us, Brenton.
How are you, Mark?
Good, mate. Good. So just, I guess, firstly, if we could just have a bit of a chat about your own background. You're a Melbourne lad originally?
Yeah, Melbourne born and bred. Sort of not really into a traditional jockey family. Obviously, Dad was a bookmaker, and that's sort of how I sort of got introduced to horse racing. Obviously, from a young age, I was always going to the races, hanging around sort of the betting ring more than anything else and helping him. And then sort of as it grown, sort of grew from there, went to high school with, a trainer's son and sort of become really good friends with him. And from then on, we sort of, used to go to the stables and have a bit of a play around. And, sort of obviously I was always an animal lover and sort of got introduced to horses and everything sort of just went from there.
Yeah, right. And when did you actually move up to Sydney?
Sort of when I was based in Sydney, it was sort of when I was 18. I sort of did my apprenticeship, obviously, in Melbourne with John Maloney. And when I was at John's, I was obviously going all right. I was one of the leading apprentices. And Gay needed to fill a void up in Sydney as she had no apprentice at the time. And I was lucky enough to sort of get the call up there when I was 18. And it was meant to be a six-week thing that's turned into, 8 years now. So, Sydney sort of became home for me. And Melbourne's obviously always going to be, very soft, but obviously with family and close friends here. But, Sydney's my life at the moment and something that I enjoy a lot.
Yeah, great. And as I said earlier, you're having a huge year. You're the runaway leader with, I think you've got 58 wins this year and you're top of the Metro Premiership. Has there been any big change for you this year? Is it more just natural progression?
Yeah, look, obviously it's a, things are different in regards to where I stand on the Premiership and winners-wise. Sort of from 5 years ago, my manager and myself, we both thought that, I could probably be doing better and performing better and my worst ethic could probably pick up. I'm 26 now and sort of back then I was, 20, 21 and probably living the good life in a way where I'd rather sort of be doing things rather than going to the races for 3 or 4 days a week and working as much. So now I sort of realised, I've only got one shot at it. We've been sort of going to the races more often, doing a lot more work and so I think as you probably, if you look at the premierships over the last 5 years, you can sort of see I've sort of, every season I've ridden more winners and gradually progressed up the premiership ladder. And last couple of seasons, obviously, I was able to win Country Rider of the Year, Provincial Rider of the Year. And sort of last season, I was New South Wales rider, leading rider. And this season's going to be topping the Metro titles. Sort of two-thirds of the way through the season's been, for me, a pretty good achievement. And hopefully, the last 3 months of the season's all going to be concentrating on just staying consistent and trying to ride more winners. Last season I rode, I think, 58 or 59 Metro winners, and this season I'm already there. So there's no reason why I can't keep going and keep improving, and that's going to be the main goal.
We've just come out of the championships, which has obviously become a really big event, and it's on a national level and international scale. How have you found the event, and how was your last couple of weeks?
I think the championships is a really good initiative. There's a lot of prize money that's starting to get, obviously, on the world stage now with imports. I think a couple of years ago we had Harness Gold, and that sort of come for it. Even now, we're getting sort of good European horses with Godolphin bringing horses. So I think it's a really good concept that's going to work. Last season, I had a little bit of luck. This season was pretty average, to be honest. Day one, I didn't have much go right, and I was suspended for day two. So for me, the championships was a bit of a miss this year, but something obviously I'll be working forward to for the next, for the future.
Yeah, right. And just looking at, I guess, just for our punters, would be interested in your preparation for, I guess, a race or a meeting. Would there be a typical lead-up you could say when your rides are confirmed and sort of when you know what you'll be riding?
Well, Sydney racing is a little bit different to a couple others at the moment. Sort of Sydney racing now, sort of usually, sort of what I'm riding, minimum 10 days out. So sometimes it can be, the Monday week beforehand or the Saturday that I already know sort of, connections are coming to me for rides and I'm sort of confirming them and that. And sort of that's sort of the day one of the process where I've got a manager in place who takes care of that and And every now and then, if there's a 50-50 call or we've got a couple of rides to choose from, that's when we sort of we might come together and work out what we want to ride, you know, for that race or what, you know, that ride could lead to. And then that's sort of where we go from there. And obviously, we don't really do much till the fields come out. And then when the fields come out, that's when I've sort of had a quick look, but I don't do much about them because there's so many racing now and so many meetings in Sydney. Sort of my rides on the Saturday, I don't usually sort of do the form of them till the Friday. Usually got the Wednesday meeting beforehand, the Thursday meeting beforehand, and then, you know, the Saturday meeting. So just say a normal Saturday meeting, I sort of won't get to do the form till probably Friday night. What I start with is usually just my own horse. I just love to go through all these replays or her replays and just see how it's been best ridden and see what sort of just this little attributes, whether it hangs in, hangs out, and all that sort of stuff. I don't do as a lot of the outside sort of horses. I've got a form guy in place who sort of does that for me. And we come together sort of Monday morning and, on the Saturday morning and work that out. So by the time I sort of basically all I do is just my replays and then I get a bit of outside help with sort of a speed map or what maybe the attributes of the, you know, the main Danish could do or where they're going to be. And that's how I go from there.
And on the speed map, is that a big aspect for you?
For me, I think it is, yeah. It's always nice to know where you think you're going to be in running or where the maintainers are. You know, if you've drawn a little bit wide, you know, you've got the leader inside you, you can just cart you across. Or if you've drawn in and there's not much happening, you can be confident, you know, you can tuck up a forward spot without doing anything. Just little things. So I think it's helpful. And obviously, it's a big help for, you know, to be where you're going to be in the run. And obviously, like I said, if you're on one of the main dangers and you want to know where your other two main chances are, you know, whether they're going to be around you, whether they're going to be in front of you, whether they're going to be a height behind you, you can sort of ride accordingly. And I think that's been a big help for me. Obviously, when you get all the homework done and all that, you know, you can leave the barriers and be confident that you can make those swift second decisions already knowing what things are happening around you.
Yeah, right. And looking at race day itself, state of the tracks is a big issue and seems to be getting bigger. Are you a big track walker yourself?
Yeah, I walk every track I go to. So now, so I've been doing it in Sydney, obviously, for a long time now that you can get a gradual, I can usually get a guide to how the track's going to race just by what the rating comes up or where the rail position is now that I've been walking pretty frequently. They do out of patterns. Randwick has sort of played a little bit different the last few weeks. Usually when the rail was true, it was always impossible to stay near the fence when sort of the last couple of meetings there when the rail's been in, it's been interesting. So I always like to walk the tracks race day and make my own assessment from there. And it does play a big part because I walk it before first. And sometimes you can get an advantage before anyone else has picked it up. I think, you know, the main asset was Tommy Berry, you know, he walks a lot of tracks and we actually compare notes sometimes of what we thought. And, you know, when he won that race and Frolic race one there, you know, a month ago, we sort of both come to the conclusion that the outside fence is probably the place to be and that's how it raced. And that's just a clear example of how sometimes you can get to it before anyone else does and it can become an advantage.
I guess with the tactics of the race itself, are they almost always your own tactics that you and, I guess, your form analysts have come up with, or do you get really specific trainer instructions very often?
It's just all different. So, you know, it depends who you ride for and what sort of owners and, you know, whether the horse is first up or and has a long grip ahead or if it's rock hard fit and grand final day. Everything's sort of, you know, everything's there to sort of get changed. I think a lot of the connections know now that I ride for that I've got my own plan. And I'll always put forward my plan to them, but at the end of the day, the owners and trainers, they're the ones with the horse and they're the ones who pay the bills. So they're entitled to get their horse ridden to how they want it to be ridden. But at the same time, when the gate's open, I'm the one who's out there and I'm the one who's getting paid to make the decisions and I'll do it as I see it. You know, you can always come up with a gate plan, you know, it works like a sweaty spirit in the VRC Oaks. You know, that was the gate plan that everyone decided on, we come up with and it paid off. But there's other decisions, you know, sometimes you're on a horse and you have to go back and you go back. Mid-race, the speed of the race is not in your favour and you know you can't win from back there. So you've got to come up with another plan, you know, that maybe the owners and trainers don't just agree with, but you've got to come up with a plan that you think is in the best interest of your horse. And see, like I said, that's just something that I've got to work out there. So as in tactics-wise, yeah, you know, you can come up with a plan A, plan B in front of the owners and trainers, but at the end of the day, you're the one who's going to make the decision out there.
And in race, as you were just speaking about, I guess it requires some pretty quick thinking in that. What's your, I guess, number one aim? Is it to get your horse comfortable in the run and moving well?
Yeah, basically the first thing is I just want to get to my spot as quick as possible. Well, not as quick as possible, but I want to get to a spot where I think it's going to be a winning spot early. You know, that's my first aim, to get my horse out of the gate and find that spot within 50 metres or 100 metres and then get my horse to be switched off and relaxed and into a rhythm. I think, yeah, the next crucial part is to be within a, you want to be within a winning position at the 800 metre mark. And then from then on, yeah, you want your horse breathing right and in a rhythm where you can sort of quicken around the bend and be off and going. So it's sort of obviously, I think, you know, in a 1600 metre race, I suppose, there's sort of four crucial times. You know, you've got the first 400 where you want to sort of get your horse to begin and be in a rhythm. For the sort of next 400, you just want your horse switched off and relaxed. And then from the 800 metre mark onwards, you want to plot your plan, whether you're behind runners or you want to plot where your sort of path is, or if you're in front, you just rating the tempo and making sure you're going quick enough to keep everything happy but slow enough that your horse is in a rhythm and comfortable. And obviously your last 400 is when it's sort of game on and just time until you want to push the trigger.
And from your own success, and I guess the more successful jockeys you see around you, is it that ability to sum things up and make a really quick decision, do you think, that sort of sets the real guns apart?
Yeah, I think so. I think timing's everything, especially in racing. You know, these little millimetres of margins in a way, and it's all about timing. When you're hot, and you can get those timing down pat. And when you bit off the boil, it's just, you know, you might push a trigger a touch early or a touch late and just miss the timing. So I think timing's huge, and confidence plays a big thing. But yeah, I try to get the timing spot on, and you know, sometimes I'm known to sort of be quite vigorous on them, but at the same time, I think I can be the one who you might be able to sit the longest, or you know, just you know, keep something there for the finish and just try and get the timing spot on, because you've always got to say something for the finish, and that's something that I work on a lot, is just trying to get the timing right.
And looking at the whip rules, obviously another really contentious issue. Is that something you all found really difficult? Or?
No, not at all. I am a strong rider with the whip, but it's not something that sort of used me out. I'd never get featured in instrument support for overuse or anything like that, or never had really a fine or a suspension. I always like to get my horses to the top without using the whip. Obviously, there's some horses that sort of need it, but I try and get my horse to the top without the whip and then sort of go from there to a last resort. I don't think whips make horses go faster, but I do think they make horses concentrate and run at their, keep them at the sustained speed for as long as possible.
Yeah, right. And coming off the weekend, obviously, we've seen another quite tragic incident. Jockey safety is a massive, obviously, I'm sure, concern of yours. Is it something that's constantly on your mind, or are you able to block that out?
Put it this way. If you went out there thinking that something was going wrong, that's probably when it's time to retire. It's something that, you know, you think you've got it in the back of your mind, but you leave it at the back of your mind in a way. Look, I know the dangers of racing. You know, I've lost good friends over the years, and it's something you don't think about. And if I ever do think about it, that's when it's going to be time that I don't want to ride anymore. I love what I do. It's obviously a dangerous industry, but I get my highs in life through race riding. It's something that I love doing. And I understand that, you know, obviously we get followed around by an ambulance and all that sort of stuff, but it's something that I don't think about. I go out there and I don't look at it as a job. Look, I love being around horses. I love the competitiveness of it. It's a sport to me, and it's a passion, and I get paid for it. So to me, that's how it is. And if it becomes anything different, that's when I'm going to, you know, that's when I'll be thinking to maybe give it up or do something else. But in the meantime, that's all it is for me, and I love what I'm doing.
Yeah, great. Good to hear. I guess just, yeah, in summing up, career highlight for you so far?
Definitely the VLT Oaks. That was definitely something special. Going back to Melbourne, the main feature during the four-day carnival is always something special. But, yeah, that's definitely probably the biggest one.
And without annoying your owners or trainers or anything, what would you say is the best horse you've ridden?
Best horse I've ridden? I did ride Hartnell once. He only went fair, but he's rated the second best horse in the country behind Wings. So I'd definitely have to probably say Hartnell, wouldn't I?
And the future, any chance of seeing you full-time back down here in Melbourne at any stage, do you think, or are you well and truly ensconced in Sydney now?
Look, Sydney's my life at the moment. Obviously, I've got a beautiful girlfriend that supports me in everything I do, and it's just a way of life at the moment where I am in Sydney. But racing's one of those things that's all about opportunities, and you go to where your opportunities are. You know, it's just a name, but if Darren Weir offered me a number one role in Melbourne, you know, I probably would never go back to Melbourne and write for him. If Chris Waller gave me the number one position in Sydney, I'd write for him. If John Moore offered me the contract in Hong Kong, I'd go to Hong Kong. So I think racing is one of those things where you can go, it can take you anywhere in the state or anywhere in the world. So you're never really tied down, especially when I'm only 26. So I think my girlfriend knows that. I'm sure she'd be happy to move with me anywhere I went, and that's how it's going to be. So I said, if my life's in Sydney and the opportunities are in Sydney, that's where I'm going to stay. But if something comes up with overseas or interstate, well, that's something to think about and something that I wouldn't say no to.
Fantastic. Well, that's probably about all we wanted to go through today. So thanks for your time, Brenton. And, yeah, thanks for giving the guys a bit of an insight into how you prepare for a race. And I guess also pre-race and also when the gates fly open. So, yeah, thanks a lot for your time.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks, Brenton.
Thanks for tuning in to Betting 360. Get more in-depth analysis, tips, and that betting edge by heading over to championbets.com.au, where you'll find a full transcript of this episode. If you liked the show, don't forget to hit the subscribe button or share us with your fellow punter. Betting 360, punting from all angles.